You're echoing still.
I'm echoing.
Are we live?
We're live.
We are now.
We're live.
Oh, shoot. Look at this. Watch live now.
Very hard to see.
We are live.
I got a notification.
So we'll say Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we have Adam Klein sitting here right next to me.
Hi, Gamer Girl.
The instant shout out for Gamer Girl. Adam is, you know, nice enough to join us for this today. And then we have Alexa going through headphones on the ground because we don't have headphones for both of us. So if the audio is a little off, that is why. You've been warned.
Is Giovanni here?
Giovanni's there. The Oscars suck. Every award show does.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. So we're going to do our predictions and power rankings today for Survivor Ghost Island going into episode 3. Adam made his own predictions and power rankings.
Yeah, and he's been trying to look at my thing. I've got this Santa hat to block it.
Like, Phil, you can't cheat off answers. Adam's predictions and power rankings.
Well, I had mine typed out. He made me write it down on this piece of paper. He wouldn't give me any more than this. And
it's your home. You can have as much paper as you want.
Adam, I'm just impressed you wrote down your power rankings. This is a first.
Well, she thinks that I cheat, but Alexa, so if you want to do the honors of typing these in, because I'm not going to be able to, because me and Adam have small window.
I would happily do that.
We want to say hi to Jake and Nostalgia and Nathan and Allison and everybody.
There you go.
What, wow.
You look at these two.
And Shelly.
You give more shout-outs than we ever have.
You're looking handsome.
I know. Okay, anyway.
I don't know.
Wow. What's going on over there?
I don't know. Using your power for nefarious purposes.
So we're going to do our power rankings for episode 3. I'm all baffled. anybody who hasn't done this before, we're going to start at number 1, and then we're going to work our way to number 18, because 18 is where it's more dramatic. You know, that's the person we actually think is going to get voted out, so that's more fun. And we'll talk about the preview. We did see, I mean, it looks very obvious Sebastian's going over to Malolo. It looks like Morgan is getting a pretty big dose here. It looks like Brendan very obviously finds an idol.
Spoilers.
Oh, wow. I haven't watched this thing. I got to change up my entire power rankings now.
Well, watch the preview. It's pretty obvious Brendan finds an idol. So anyway. So, Adam, you're the guest. Who do you have at number 1?
Well,
talk about the season.
The season would be fun to talk about. Can we talk about this daddy thing for a second? Can we talk about this daddy thing? I'm looking at this chat.
This is a PG podcast, Adam.
What's that?
This is a PG podcast.
Okay, I don't know. I want to understand this whole daddy thing. Like, why do people call you daddy? What does it mean?
I don't know. I have no idea, Adam. I have no idea. But I'll tell you what. It shows up a lot in this chat. It happens a lot in life here. And, yeah.
Also, I think you need to block Brett Semmelsberg. All right. So,
oh, my God. I gotta open up this chat.
That's hilarious.
All right. My number 1, who I don't think is going home.
There you go.
Who I think was fantastic in the first episode is my girl Stephanie Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that she has a good spot on her tribe, but she's also going to be non-threatening in a swap position. I don't think anyone quite realizes, you know, that Brendan is more like sort of the obvious leader of the tribe. So I think even if they try to like take out the leader of the old Malolos, I think she'll be all right. So I'm going Stephanie, and she's got the most information in the game right now.
Absolutely. And we don't know the tribes going into this. Also, Will is actually in the chat.
Will coming in hot.
Yeah, he keeps being mean to you. Don't listen to Will.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
But
oh, Stephanie Adam, Johnson, you'll do great on this podcast.
I like Stephanie Johnson, though, because, like, Stephanie Johnson, I'll do my first and second because I have her at 2. And I have Wendell at 1, and then I have Stephanie Johnson at 2. The thing is, Jacob only told Stephanie Johnson. And, like, Stephanie Johnson's never going to look like the strongest person on her tribe, but she's never going to be the weakest person on her tribe. So when this swap hits, nobody's going to expect her to be, like, in control. But nobody's going to be like, oh, we need to get rid of her because she can't do anything in the challenges. So I think Stephanie's in like a great spot here. But I have Wendell at 1 just because like Wendell's tribe won. And like what we saw from him was like very positive, very like, oh, I stopped doing with this and I went and I was a furniture builder. Like that was my dream. That's what I chased. And I just feel like Wendell's getting set up as like building to, you know, something way further down the line.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do 1, 2, 3 because that's kind of a combo of all of these. I actually put Dominic at number one. I got an idol. He's the only one with an idol. I am hearing a bit of an echo, but I'm going to roll with it. He's playing loud, but he's also, he'll play it. Like he's someone, it's kind of like Joe, he's playing a loud game, but he would actually play that idol. He's not just going to wave it around and not use it. He's going to use that. And I really like his chances with this idol. And on top of that, even though he is playing loud, maybe he's making a bit of an enemy with Chris. Chris is an okay enemy to make because I don't envision him being around that long. Every other person really seems to get along with him. So I think he had a great first episode. I think he has a lot of longevity in the game. Number two, I have Stephanie. Same reasons as you guys. She is not the obvious threat. She's not the obvious leader. And I think that's going to take her super far. No one is ever going to think that she's the one who's going to be orchestrating these big, like these big tribal breakup votes. And number three, I have Wendell. We didn't see him go to tribal council. We haven't seen that part of him yet, but he's someone who can just make a very easy connection, a very easy friendship with someone. And that's someone who's going to last a long time in the game.
Yup. I have Wendell second on my list. So
wow, we're good.
Wendell in like the top few spots there, all for all the same reasons that you guys said. After that, I have Brendan. Brendan, by the way, my pregame winner pick, but if I had to pick somebody now, I think I would pick Wendell. I think he got good, like personal content in the first episode, talking about his dad and like being a furniture maker. He got, good strategic content, like showing that he's aligning with a powerful player, but like he's sort of second in command, which is right about the right spot that you want to be. But Brendan was my pregame winner pick, and I think he is obviously doing very well. I think he's a little bit too forward in terms of how obviously in charge he is. And so I think eventually that will hurt him. But for now, I think he's in a good spot, and it certainly looks like him and Michael are going to find an idol in this next episode based on the preview, where at the end of the episode, they showed Brendan saying, are we going to reverse the curse? Like he wouldn't know that phrase is a thing unless he has a paper in front of him that says, are you going to reverse the curse? Like that tagline has not been said in public at all. Right. It's only been on the notes. So he's going to get a note, and it's definitely not a note at Ghost Island because Michael's there and there's two of them. So,
There's a lot going on in this preview.
Yeah. So to me, that's pretty clear that one of Michael or Brendan is finding the idol. And it seems like it's probably Brendan because he's the one actually reading the note. Yeah. So
do you guys like see Michael with Brendan? Is that how's the Brendan Michael connection happening?
Brendan's looking at the camera and Michael's behind him. Like we see Michael's back and Brendan's kind of like looking at Michael, but it's his face on the camera. And like, it looks like he's looking up from something, like he's reading something. So for that reason, I also have Brendan at three. I thought Brendan had a really good first episode. They showed him being they showed him being aware that things could be going on behind the scenes. Kind of almost like it kind of probably is more paranoid, but it did seem positive in this sense because he was saying to Michael, like, we could be getting a fast one pulled on us. And they were trying to tell the audience that there could be a fast one being pulled. So I have Brendan at three. He's got an idol too. So I think that he's in really good shape. Whatever tribe he goes to, if they lose the first one, he doesn't seem like he's abrasive. Like Adam said, he is definitely in a power position and he's obvious about that. But I don't think that he'll be like a Chris where he's going to rub people the wrong way.
And he's going to be helpful for challenges right now. So they'll probably keep him around at this point for that. But another red flag for Brendan is that he has been shown already multiple times in this premiere to be a little bit paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him wondering if they were double crossing him. And then we saw him right before the vote saying, I think they're double crossing us. And it proved to be unfounded. And same thing with Michael. Michael sort of was portrayed as not necessarily getting what he wanted at one point. Cause I think he was talking about getting rid of, was it Donathan? He was like, I think we need to get rid of Donathan. And then that didn't go that way. So there's definitely some red flags there for the both of them.
Yeah. So I actually had Brendan and Michael fairly low on my list, but now that this is going on, I'm going to have to call an audible and switch him up. I'm going to put Brendan at my number four. I mean, she has an idol.
Is she changing because of our comments?
She is. We have.
It's only because of what you guys told me. So maybe there wasn't even a preview. Maybe there wasn't even a preview and you guys just staged this so that I could screw up my power rankings. I would not put that past either of you.
I mean, mine's written down. I'm not calling any audibles here.
We did have Alexa, we had an hour and a half to determine if we wanted to trick you. We did.
It may be working.
Let her move Brendan. Okay, this good. Is perfect.
Okay. Yeah, let me do this. Let me mess up my power rankings because I crushed Phil in this last season. So
she destroyed me.
This is only fair.
I lost.
This is the first time that the premiere has gone so badly for me with my boot list.
Oh, good, we need to bring that up.
Bowed out of winning the prize because it's not going my way so far.
That was going to be brought up tonight. It was very exciting for the 250 other boot lists to actually be in the running with you. How does it feel?
I bought into the Gonzalez like following you guys hype.
I blew that up way too much.
I was like, oh my God, she's so into what you guys are doing. She's obviously very excited. Like, you know, she loves that you guys love her. She has to at least do reasonably well. I got tricked. And then Jacob, I had Jacob low in my like sort of first go at it. But then I listened to First One Out with Josh Wigler, and every single person was saying how much they loved him. It was like the most positive response that I've almost ever heard for somebody in the pregame. Everyone wanted to work with him. So that convinced me to move him. I put him in like ninth or something. So that was not a great start for my boot list. But my prop bet.
Do you want me to say it or do you want to say it?
No, go for it.
Adam
what's the score update for the prop bet game?
Adam wanted to be like announced as like the leader of the prop bet game.
Are you winning the prop bet game right now? Nine?
First place in the prop bet game.
Not alone.
Let's be very clear.
Who's he tied with?
Sheldon Coupon?
I said that if I won the boot list game, I would donate the buff back. I did not say.
I was about to say that.
I did not say that I would donate the buff back for the prop bet because I've never won that one before. So
you did.
Wait, did I won the?
He has won the prop bet before. That was because for second chances, we didn't think that we thought it was spoiled, so we didn't put the boot list out. So we did prop bet, and you won that one. That's what, there you go.
I guess I have won the prop bet game.
Wow, Adam has won the trifecta of Survivor games. He has won our bootless game, our prop bet game, and Survivor.
That's it. But will he do well in the Survivor?
I did say those in order of importance. I just want to put that one out there.
What's that?
I did list those in order of importance. Sure. Bootless, prop bet, actual game of Survivor.
Xfinity power rankings.
Oh.
Which is rare for the Survivors to win, right? Doesn't he win normally?
Does he?
I think he does.
I don't know. Well, I put a lot of work into that.
Yeah, no, those are good. You actually wrote like blurbs.
I wrote a lot. Anyway, should we get back to what we're here for?
Yeah, anyway. So I put Brendan at number four. You guys did a pretty good job describing that. And because I actually haven't seen this preview, I don't know if I am authorized to speak on that. So moving to my number five, I'll just kind of jump two ahead. I have Kellen, and I have her in that position kind of for a similar reason that I have Wendell up there. We haven't seen Kellen go to Tribal Council. We actually didn't see too much of Kellen in this premiere, but what we saw is that she's very personable. She crushed the puzzle part of that challenge. That, I think, they really put a lot of a spotlight on her, and I know that definitely will carry her. And the content that she got was very, very positive. It was very personal. It was very, this game means a lot to me. And that's someone who's going the distance.
Agreed. You want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. I have Kellen further down. This is my invisible crapshoot here. So at four, I have Desiree. Five, I have Bradley. Six, I have Libby. I just figured I'd do all those at once. Desiree, all we heard from her is that she's not good at puzzles. I feel like she has such a great story. We're going to hear her story at least on this season at some point. And it would be kind of like crazy for me if Desiree doesn't get more. She's not really in this preview, so I don't think she's in trouble yet. Bradley, I feel like he's going to start firing off some lines soon. I'm pretty sure that like he really didn't have much there, but in the sneak peek for next week, him, Libby, and Angela are the first three people to talk, which I think is really, really funny. As soon as they get to the mat, it's Libby, what do you think about your tribe? Bradley, what do you think about your tribe? Angela, give a confessional. So like clearly these people I think are going to have a role in the game. Libby, I feel like because she was a big part of the two votes, because she did vote in the majority both times, I feel like she's going to stick around for at least a little bit, because if they were going to get rid of her here, they would have given her something in these first two episodes that somehow showed us that she was doing something wrong, or that she wasn't completely in the click, or that she was too confident and now they're going to get her the next one. So I have Libby there. I don't have Chelsea anywhere near this high, just because I do still think that Chelsea is in the most danger. Chelsea and Angela, I think, are still in a lot of danger, but the Desiree, Bradley, Libby, that's my 4, 5, 6, strictly because like I just feel like all three of them have stories that need to be told at some point.
I think that that's way too high for people who have had very little screen time. I think you have to hedge your bets a bit and go with the people who have gotten positive screen time up near the top here, people who they've sort of, they're signaling that they're going to be end game players a bit. Whereas we don't have nearly enough information, I think, about like some of the, like Dez to say, oh yeah, she's going to be, I'm not looking at your list.
Oh, wow.
I don't think we have enough information about Dez to say, oh yeah, she's going to get her story told. We have no idea. If she goes out second, are they for sure going to tell her story? Not necessarily in the premiere. They might tell it in the second.
I mean, Gonzalez has an awesome story.
What's that?
Gonzalez has a really great episode. Excuse me. Gonzalez has a really great story. And we, time-wise, didn't get to see it. But she was someone who has a really cool story. And we never even...
But we did get some of it. We got that, like, this doesn't bother her. You know, she doesn't look like she's somebody who's outdoorsy, but she is. Jacob got a great story. Like, I feel like
her story is like her coming from Puerto Rico and everything. Like, that's like a very personal story. Not the same as Dez, but sort of on more of that level.
Yeah, but we did get some of that in that episode. And that's what I'm saying. Like, with Desiree, like, all we got was she wasn't good at puzzles. This is somebody who has one of the most, like, intriguing, like, pregame stories. Like, she's 21, but has lived in Nicaragua, has been homeless. Like, these are things that are going to come up in this season. I'm looking way far ahead. Honestly, my 1 through 9? I had the numbers on there. 1 through 9.
You can write numbers down on paper if you want.
My 1 through 9, I don't think you're going home. So I put them in this order because I think it was how I was thinking. But I still think, like, Libby, to go home this week after being a part of the first two votes. Yeah, why did I say Nicaragua? It's Nigeria. Thank you, Will. I do think like Libby going home after that would be like kind of like out there. And I just think like we didn't really see anything from Naviti. And I feel like Bradley is like, he didn't seem like he rubbed anybody the wrong way. And he also didn't seem like, we don't know really who he's aligned with, but why would they go after him first? Like, we're being built up like Chris is going home, or even like maybe, I don't know, Michael goes home, or Dominic plays an idol stupid or something. Like, who knows? But I just don't see a situation where Bradley, Desiree, or Libby go home this week.
All right. Well, I'm going the complete opposite approach. My number four may be surprising to a lot of people, but my number four is Donathan. Because while if I were in the game, if it were happening live, I would think Donathan is in danger in any situation. But after watching the show, they are investing in this guy as a show, and there is no way that Donathan is going home next. I mean, he's already getting the David Wright like sort of treatment of the this is a big time player for this season. Donathan is in for the long haul. I would be very, very surprised if Donathan went home before the merge. And then if he makes the merge, he's the right kind of person to be able to slip through to the end of the game. The problem with Donathan is that he is not and is not hiding his story at all. In a similar way that David became a very obvious threat because of his growth transformation and the story of how well he was excelling in the game, it was all very apparent when we were out there. The same is going to be true and already is true of Donathan. So by the time the end game comes around, I think people are going to be looking at him as a threat, and he's going to have a really hard time getting to the end of the game. But for now, I don't think that that this guy gets that kind of edit in the first episode if he goes home second. So I have Donathan at 4, and my number 5 is Dominic. He has the idol. He's also a big character in this season. I don't think that they would invest this much of the story, especially with his relationship with Wendell, which is probably going to be very important if he were to go home next.
I'm gonna jump on this, Alexa, and then I'll let you like catch all the way up to me. But I'm gonna finish out the people that I don't think are gonna go because you've all talked about them already. So at my set, well, Alexa, you talked about Kellen, so I'm gonna jump all the way up to Kellen here. At 7, I have Donathan. 8, I have Dominic, and then 9, I have Kellen. Donathan, I think, like Adam said, like right now, I don't see him going home. I don't really see him winning because it's like obvious. Like he is telling everybody, like, this is who I am. Like when he was talking to Laurel, it was like, I don't really ever get to talk to people like you. Like that was like how he approached it. And like, that's how he's approaching this whole game. And you know, these are my friends and I'm just having fun. Like this is something that like for him, I don't see him going pre-merge. I do see him going later. Dominic, I think is fine now because we are being shown him as like the more lighthearted guy out of the Chris and Dominic little feud here. Like Dominic's the one who found the idol. He's the one who's like, Jeff, I don't lie. And like Chris seems like he's the one, he's the bad guy who pulled the thing out from under Desiree.
Yeah, I think we're meant to be rooting for Dom, and I think there's probably a way to edit Dom in a way that we would not be rooting for Dom.
Very easily.
Like he's kind of that Tony type where he could either easily be a villain as well or a hero, depending on how he's edited probably.
Yeah. And then my 9 is Kellen. And I think Kellen, like she had a really good first episode for somebody who didn't go to tribal. She still got to say like, I've turned my whole life around and this is what I'm doing. I'm finally out here on Survivor. Like I'm living that dream. And you know, we got a lot of positive real life story from Kellen, which I think bodes well for her going very deep in the game. And so those 9 that I have there, I don't think really have, I think I'd give like all of them like at most a 1% chance of going home. I think everybody under that has a chance to go. And that's kind of why like my top 9, you guys might not agree with the order, but I honestly don't even really think it matters all that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's 18 people left. So there's plenty of room for someone to go home, like middle of the merge.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, yeah, I'll catch up to 9. I actually start to get pretty dicey after 6. So I'll catch up through 9 and then just kind of give a quick thing on them. So for 6, I have Donathan. Similar reasons that you have him pretty high up, Adam. Just the content that we got from him was similar to what Phil just said about Kellen. It was very, very personal. And his confessional on Ghost Island, that was a confessional that very well could imply that he goes super far. It was just, I love this game. This game means so much to me. And hearing his story, albeit very obvious to the rest of the tribe, hearing that, I think, shows the viewer that we are going to care about him. We are going to learn a lot more about him. So I think he has plenty of longevity. And then 7, 8, and 9, these are, like 7 and 8 have not been mentioned yet. I actually put Morgan at number 7. And I know that's pretty dangerous because she has I'm watching you guys' reactions. She has that thing. And I know Stephanie is going to vote her out and win this game and by using that legacy advantage. But on the 50-50 chance that she's not on a tribe with Stephanie, which maybe she is based on this preview that apparently exists, if she's not on it, she is 1,000% in the clear. She's very, very likable. What we got from her was very cute, very positive, great in challenges. I think if you take the Stephanie thing out of the equation, Morgan's in a fantastic spot. And also, if she is on a tribe of Stephanie, I can't imagine that the first thing Stephanie will do is try to get rid of her, because I don't know if she and Morgan would have that kind of relationship where she would give it to Stephanie. I think Stephanie would have to really milk that for a couple of votes. So for that reason, and because no one other than Stephanie knows, I think Morgan's in an okay place.
Yeah, we were talking. I was talking about this with Phil before we went live. But if she wants that legacy advantage from Morgan, she absolutely cannot vote her out first, because Morgan's going to give it to someone from her original tribe. And exactly. On top of that, if she votes her out and she doesn't get it, she has no idea where it is. Right now, she has information in the game and she can use that to her advantage. But as soon as Morgan is gone, she won't know who has the legacy advantage anymore. And that will be almost completely useless information. So I don't see any reason why Stephanie would want to vote out Morgan at this point. I'm still at, so I did Donathan at 4, Dominic at 5. My 6, we haven't talked about too much yet, but it's Michael. I think Michael is in a good spot. I think he's going to be a strong asset to whatever tribe that he's on. And I don't think that there would be any real reason to get rid of Michael at this point. Don't have a whole lot more to say about that. He got a decent amount of screen time. I think the one red flag, like I mentioned before, is that he didn't necessarily get what he wanted. So now that I say that out loud, maybe I put him a little bit too high, too late. Especially under, I have set a Kellen at 7, and Kellen should probably be before Michael, but Kellen, agreed with you guys. She's set up to be, I think, probably a long-term character. I think we're meant to relate to her and root for her a bit. I have Morgan at 8, same as Alexa. I don't think, she's going to be, you know, I think the fact that Jacob wanted to work with her is a good sign. People on the other tribe see her as a friendly face potentially and going into a swap. You want to be the person on the other tribe that is seen as like not a threat and, you know, someone that you might be willing to work with. Like when we went into a swap, our millennial tribe was all, everyone was like, we got to get rid of Ken. We got to get rid of Ken, because he was like the face of the Gen Xers. Like he was the one that told us we couldn't have the fishing gear. Mm-hmm. Like he was the one that was like talking the smack and was seen as like the visible leader of the other tribe. That's probably Chris in this situation, right? You don't want to be the Chris going into a swap. You do want to be the Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Adam has the advantage of knowing where I have Morgan. So we'll talk about Morgan when I get to Morgan.
I could tell you had her low based on your face.
Yeah, I mean, I have her low pretty much because of the Stephanie Johnson thing. And also because, like, I just don't know how their tribe works at all, other than that Sebastian and Chris are friends and Dominic and Chris are not friends. Like, that's all I know about that tribe's dynamics. I don't know anything else. So, like, I don't know if Morgan's actually getting along with everybody on that tribe. I have no idea.
Yeah,
so, like,
we wouldn't know.
What was that?
Well, yeah, we wouldn't know. You're right.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, if
we know about Sebastian's abs,
we do know about Sebastian's abs,
which there's he pointed there. To.
We're not
like,
sure that Sebastian does, but
he pointed to them like above the heart.
Well, to be fair, he didn't know what Dominic was getting at. Dominic, right?
Yeah.
That was a funny scene. The editors are not being kind to Sebastian. Have we noticed this? Not at all. They're like, any opportunity they can to like try to make him look stupid, they are putting that in there.
Yeah. I have him extremely low.
He's my next. I have him at 10.
All right, I'm going to rate that down. All right, 9. Just to make sure we're all...
So high. I'm talking
okay, Adam, so he's your 9? Okay, let me catch all this at once.
He's my 9, and he's Phil's 10.
So we might as well talk about Sebastian now while we're on it. I know we're all, like, all over the place here, Alexa, so I hope you're tight.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm just, Sebastian is Adam's 9. Okay, now I'm good.
Okay, so what I'll say about Sebastian is I think because he's such a goof and because we're being shown him as such a goof, that means he's almost going to be, like, the comedic relief of like this early part, and maybe not necessarily laughing like with him, but like laughing at him. And I'm not saying like so far he hasn't done anything that's just like, oh my God, I can't stand this guy. It just seems like we're getting a lot of stuff where it's like, he's just kind of the goofy guy who's like in the Chris and Dominic thing. And like, he's friendlier with Chris, but like Dominic's pointing out his abs. And like, it doesn't seem like Sebastian really cares about that.
Everybody on Survivor goes into confessional and at some point or another makes a bad analogy, an analogy that just doesn't work. Editors don't always put it in the show. They almost never put it in the show, but they put in Sebastian's kid. We're like two friends
In a two kids, like two best shop. Friends in a candy shop. Yeah.
Picking out each other's candy.
Gummy bears specifically.
Picking out each other's gummies. I'm sure Sebastian had some great analogies and some other great confessions, but they picked one that they knew didn't work mm-hmm. and put it in the show. So they're trying to tell us something about Sebastian, and I hope Sebastian has a good sense of humor about it all, because the editors certainly do.
Yeah, I'll get deeper into him when we get to him. But another thing where you said they're not being kind to him, I think it was Dominic again. He said, "Do your friends call you Seabass?" To which he said, "I don't know." That told me all I needed to know.
Thank you. And I'm convinced that I don't know. I need to watch that scene here, but I think that I don't know was not from being asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be bad.
Was edited out of context, and he said, "I don't know" to something else. I don't know. I don't know. Sebastian, like, I don't know this. But I want to find out. I might have to message Sebastian and be like, "Did you actually say I don't know to that question?" Because I would guess that was a response to something else.
We'll have to check out that scene again and see where, like, the bodies are angled in it. Because I think you're onto something, because that is just a ridiculous answer.
Like, I mean, they do that sometimes. Like, when I was on Takali with Figgy and Taylor, there was some scene of them kind of canoodling, and then they showed a clip of me going like, and it was totally taken out of context. I wasn't watching them canoodle and going like, "Oh, this is terrible," you know.
I bet they do that. Adam just like creepily sitting there, like while they're like
canoodling. No, it's actually Adam was like smiling watching it, but they made him creeped out by it. I'll catch up to ten. I hit my number. Or no, I'll do 8, 9, 10. So 8, I have Michael. I really did a 180 on him. I think he was great in the premiere. I think maybe because, like, I had a questionable view of him in the preseason, I really liked where he is. I think with his name being thrown around for perhaps as little as it was, he was cool as a cucumber. He did not let it bother him. And I think he handled that really, really well. And he has kind of a close buddy in Brendan. And we haven't seen many people have, like, really tight pairs. So I think the fact that we saw a bit of that bodes pretty well for him. Number 9, I put Bradley.
Brendan, Michael, and Libby seem tight.
Mm-hmm. I put Bradley at number 9. I purposely placed him in the exact middle because I have no idea what's going on. And it's not his fault. I have no understanding of where he is in the game because we got like one still of him speaking.
He was included in a couple conversations where he had some like very reasonable things mm-hmm. to say about, like, he was talking about Ghost Island is bound to have some advantages. He was right about that. He said something else about,
they were talking about voting someone.
Yeah.
Off.
He was in the conversation when I think mm-hmm. he was telling Dominic that Chris and Sebastian are sort of gunning for Dominic. So mm-hmm. he's at least in the know of that group. It seems like he's like taking a step back and sort of taking it easy. So that seems to me to be like a pretty decent spot for Bradley, even though we're not seeing that much of him.
Yeah. And then for number 10, 10 down is where I've kind of started placing the people who we didn't see much from, which I guess is the majority of the episode. But I actually put James at number 10, and I was kind of surprised that I put him there because he had a really rough last hour of the premiere. But from what we saw, they're not, or at least on the Malolo tribe, they were not voting people off because they were bad at challenges. They voted Jacob off because they thought he was annoying and sketchy. And they voted Gonzalez off because she came in pretty hot. And I think James, I guess so, or because Jacob wasn't there. So that was happening either way. But there was definitely her rubbing people the wrong way that was being floated around. She was perfectly fine in challenges or from the 1 to 2 that she did. But when it comes for, so the point is with James is that they're not going to get rid of him because he's bad at challenges. And he's also someone that I don't expect to be playing a hardcore strategic game. And I think that's where this is going to go. So people who do want to play that kind of game will need like a loyal number. And I think that's what James is going to be.
Yeah, I'll go with my 11 and 12 because it's the two people you just talked about. I have Mike at 11 and I have James at 12. My thing with Michael is I actually really liked Michael in the premiere, and I was probably the hardest on him in the entire cast for literally no reason other than that he was 18 years old. But once he's actually out there on the island now, it seems like he's really buddied up with Brendan. He's really buddied up with Libby. He's going to know about an idol that Brendan has, but it's not going to be like a negative way of knowing, kind of like how like Dom was just kind of throwing Chris like, hey, by the way, I have an idol. This is what it looks like lying to him about the, like what the fake one looks like and saying, I'll give it to you. I really think Brendan and Michael would work together with that idol and try to make it work as well as possible. So I think even when they swap these tribes up, Michael's not going to be the first person to go on any tribe he's on. And what we got from him for the most part was good. He was a little like they did throw him out there as a possibility, but it never really came to fruition. Like it wasn't ever actually going to happen. And then I have James at 12 because even as bad as James was in that challenge, I think it made him even less of a threat in the game. Like, I don't necessarily think people, I don't think people are looking at James going, he's going to blindside us. He's this sketchy strategic guy. And they just saw him not be able to dive down 8 feet to get the buoys. I actually think that helps James in terms of he comes in looking like this really buff guy who like might be great at challenges, might be great at puzzles, might be a good social game player. Instead, he's now kind of shown that like one out of three of those, he could still be good at, but two out of three, he really hasn't done anything yet. So I think this helps James more than anything that he blew this challenge with a swap coming up.
Mm-hmm. You think that maybe you didn't like Michael because you saw him and you thought that guy took my spot as the model of this season.
That's what it was. Same height, same look, same everything.
Beautiful eyes.
You could honestly, you could switch in Phil for Michael and I don't think people would know.
Same reason I didn't like Patrick. You know, Patrick, I actually
the model of the season.
Just, you know, one day.
It'll happen.
All right. My 10. And now I'm like second guessing myself as I'm on this list. My 10 is Libby. I think that, why would they get rid of Libby? I don't know. we didn't get to hear, anything from her really. Mm-hmm. Except we do know that she's in good with Michael and with Brendan. I suppose if they wanted to break that up, they would go for Libby potentially. But I feel like because she went to tribal council two times and we didn't hear anything from her, that it wouldn't necessarily make sense that like, there's no setup for her being the next one to go. Mm-hmm. In the 11th spot, I have Brad. I've talked about Brad a little bit, Bradley. I think he seemed to have a pretty decent understanding of what's going on. I am surprised that we didn't see anything from him, though, because in the pregame, he was such a big character, right? Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of what Bradley was showing in pregame press was more of like his casting persona. If I had to guess, like he's sort of taken the Spencer playbook of like be the cocky guy in casting to get on the show. And I think that carried over into his pregame press in a way that he then realized by the second day of press. I think we had his like Gordon Holmes interview and he was like, Gordon was like, man, everybody didn't like you yesterday, all the press people. And he really tried to like play that back mm-hmm. and say that maybe that wasn't necessarily like really who he is. So my guess is that who he was in casting was this one kind of persona. And then now he's coming into the game and taking a step back, and actually trying to like go for a win probably. Mm-hmm. but I think he's in a pretty decent spot. Should I do one more?
I finished. Yeah, 12.
Go to 12. Yeah.
Go at Alexa.
Sorry.
Where are you at?
So I gave my 10. So if you want to go to 12 and I'll catch up, we could do that.
I have Chelsea at 12. This is my, so now I'm doing my spot for, look at that. This is my spot for the people that we haven't heard anything from. You know, I'm doing the Libby's, the Bradley's, the Chelsea's, just the, actually I'll do the 13 as well. I have Dez. So these are all the people that we like didn't really hear anything from. We haven't been set up for them to do well or to be big characters, but we also haven't been set up for them to not do well and go home early. Obviously something like Lucy could happen where you get no confessionals and then all of a sudden you get your one big moment in the spotlight and go home that episode. You know, Chelsea, we heard absolutely nothing from, no setup. She didn't say, I don't think, a word in the entire show, not in conversation, not in nothing. So it would be sort of strange if they went straight from that to her going home next. And Des, we got very little from, as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to say with Chelsea, what it is with Chelsea is, like, compared to Bradley and to Libby, who also didn't get confessionals, Bradley and Libby were in the episode. Like, Adam just pointed out multiple times that Bradley was a positive part of something. Libby was in the tight group of Brendan and Michael, and those are really the only three that we see are tight. We are told by Jenna that she's tight with Stephanie Johnson and that she will follow Stephanie Johnson, but I think that, like, Libby and Bradley were very much in that episode. Chelsea was like the definition of invisible. Like, we saw her running across the cargo net, and like, really, we might have seen her face one time other than that. Like, she was nowhere to be found this episode. So it, for me, I just put Chelsea way low just because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Chelsea a bit lower. I'll catch up to Adam. I go Des at number 11. And Adam, kind of like what you just said, I'm putting people because it's more based on pregame almost, because mm-hmm. we just have nothing to base it off of from the 2 hours we saw last week. I go Des at number 11. I go Jenna at number 12. And I guess in this lower half, I have her in the higher bit because of what you just said, Phil. She has an audible relationship with Stephanie, someone who I think is going to go very far. She said Stephanie's like my number one from day one, which is pretty funny considering it was day four. But because she said that, that means that there is a tight relationship there. We just didn't get the chance to see it. So if they're on the same tribe together, that could bode really well for Jenna. 13, I go down to Laurel. And my main note for her was she doesn't have a best friend. And mm-hmm. she was someone who, during this vote, especially the second vote where there were a lot of different names being thrown around, Laurel did not have someone who she would go up to on the beach that was like her number one, and everyone else, most other people seemed to have that. And so that makes me nervous for a swap situation where Malola will probably be in the minority. That doesn't really help Laurel's game that much.
Yeah. I my 13 and 14 are Jenna and Laurel. So I'll jump in here. My 13, I put Jenna there. The reason being, like, she literally had a confessional. We just rewatched like the last 15 minutes of the episode. And like, she literally has a confessional where she says, like, Stephanie's been my day one best friend. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, that's great. But like, it didn't seem like Jenna was really thinking beyond that. It was kind of like, okay, mm-hmm. like, I'm just going to go with what Stephanie Johnson wants to go with. If she wants to keep Jacob, we'll keep Jacob. Like, whatever. That's like what we saw from her. So because it wasn't like, so like, it wasn't like she was taking any type of leadership role or like taking control of her own game. I fear for her, maybe not this week, but I'll put her a little bit lower because like, I don't think she's long for this game necessarily. And then Laurel, 100% agree. She doesn't have anybody she's super aligned with. It seems like Donathan went up to her and Donathan could bond. But like, is that actually going to be something? Could this be the part of the game where now that they swap, Laurel realizes I didn't make great relationships on Malolo, and now I have to really try to make good relationships on the VT, which actually makes her look worse to her old Malolo tribe, who was like, we can let her sit here and be a part of our group, but now she's trying to work the VT. Let's get rid of her because she seems almost two-faced. I could see Laurel being that type of player because she is such a big fan. She's going to want to make the moves to win the game. And because she really might feel a little uncomfortable in this position, she might try to play both sides and it might end up biting her. But that's how I wrap out. She's the last person I have in Malolo. Like, those are my last four people are all from the original VT tribe. Mm.
I have Jenna next at 14. Is there a chance that we are being set up? Because we've only heard Jenna's perspective on Stephanie, mm-hmm. And we already got Jacob's perspective on Stephanie. Is there a chance that Stephanie becomes the like cutthroat killer of this season? And just like, if she ends up on a swap tribe with Jenna, and they're in the minority because they're original Malolo, I always think that Jenna's going to go home before Stephanie, and I think Stephanie will throw people under the bus if she needs to in order to keep moving in the game. So with Jenna, I just she was definitely shown to be sort of like second fiddle to Stephanie, but not in a way that suggests that like I feel like with Wendell, it was more like it was almost like they were giving him more credit for that mm-hmm. than they were giving Jenna somehow, mm-hmm. at least in terms of the editing. So I can't exactly pinpoint why I feel like she's not long for the game, but I have a similar sort of feeling. And next I have anything else. I feel like I'm missing something with Jenna, but there's just something there that I'm not sure.
She just didn't seem, it wasn't positive either. I think that was the problem. Like the way her confessionals came across was very like monotone, like this is how it is. Okay, fine. Like it didn't seem like Morgan's like one confessional was like, this is amazing. Like I will do this with this. And Sebastian even talking about Chris, like me and him are best buds. Like, this is great. Like Jenna's was just very like, stone-faced, this is what's happening. If that's what she wants, that's what she wants. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. It just didn't seem like positive.
I think if they mm-hmm. stayed on this tribe, I think Jenna would be in a really good spot. It seems like Stephanie and Jenna are sort of in the middle, and that's a great place to be. But I think all right. We've got somebody in the chat room. We've got Mr. Bradley in the chat room.
Oh, there he is.
During what? A lot going on.
He's being ominous.
What did he say anything else? Just a lot. What were we talking about?
Since you're about to switch, are you allowed to tell us the dynamics of original Navidi? Oh, he can't talk about that. Maybe
1,000% can't talk about that.
At the end of
that.
The season, we'll talk to Bradley about there what's going on Navidi.
But Bradley is in the house.
Hi, Bradley.
Should I go next?
I'm up to 15. What are you at?
I just did 14.
Why don't you go to 15 and then I'll catch up to you guys.
Okay. I have James at 15. In my original boot list, I put James in sixth place. I'm a little bit nervous about that. I think that this was not a great premiere for James, although they couldn't really edit that any other way. That's what mm-hmm. happened in the challenge. You know, I wonder why... they put Donathan, who very clearly was clear about that he didn't think he could do this, with James in that portion of the challenge. I do think they were disadvantaged in that challenge, and just I don't think they had as strong mm-hmm. of a tribe. But I will say with James, he was really, really good at just owning it. You know, he came back and he said, "This is what happened. It's my fault." Didn't try to make excuses, didn't try to cover for it. And what happens when you do that is you actually get other people to sort of defend for you, because he wasn't defending himself. He then sort of bought a little bit of, like, I don't know if it's sympathy or something from other people where they're like, they told him it's okay. Whereas if he said, you know, you guys put me in there, then they would fight him on that. So he did a really good job of sort of aligning other people with him by using that as like, I'm sorry, and owning up to it. And so I think it was really telling that he was able to get through that. Good indication that he is a good player of the game. But, you know, if people think that have sort of, you know, if they think that he's sort of useless, which we've heard already, like Brendan saying, what did he say about him? He said that
he's all muscle, he's all built up.
Then, you know, he's someone that in a swap you may not be that afraid of getting rid of.
I want to say, too, you bring up that point of he comes out and he owns it. The thing here with this one is a lot of people come out and own it and it wasn't necessarily their fault. And like some survivors just like roll their eyes and are like, oh my God, like this guy just wants us to pick them up. Cause you do see that all the time where it's like, I blew the puzzle. And it's like, you were also in like 19th place. Like you were so far behind. You had no chance to win that challenge by the time it got to the puzzle. So mm-hmm. I think my biggest problem here is that my biggest thing with James is he literally blew it. Not only did he blow it, he blew it when it was with Donathan. You're not going to be able, like, Donathan is clearly getting like that David Wright, you know, he's the underdog who everybody's going to fall in love with. And James just happened to be the guy who was in the water with him when Donathan had his huge hero moment. So I do feel like this was just a bad situation for James all around. I don't necessarily think it means he goes like next or soon. He could hang around for a while. It's just bad timing all around.
I will say, and now I'm talking myself, I keep talking myself out of my own list. I should have put James higher than this. I don't necessarily think he's going to go home next. But they showed him saying to like Donathan, you know, I'm really proud of you. Mm-hmm. I made sense about that moment. So that relationship, and I, like I said, I think Donathan is going to go really far. So if that becomes a strong relationship and they're hinting towards that, that it might be, that would be a very good signal for James.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that little tidbit that we got. That was very positive. I'll catch up to 15. So for 14, I have Sebastian. I have him a lot lower than you guys. And it definitely has to do with the negative or like awkward bits that we're getting from him. But to me, what makes me the most nervous for him is the conversation that he had with Wendell. Again, we only saw a bit of that conversation, but he seems to unprovoked say, Dominic's got to go. And Wendell was like, well, we're kind of friends, so no.
Yeah.
And that whole conversation just seemed really, really not great to me. So what I fear for him is that he will say things to people that shouldn't be said to those people. That's what makes me nervous for him from a voting perspective. And then for 15, I actually have...
You are convincing me. My Sebastian is way too high.
He'll be entertaining. Be entertaining.
I have him at 9.
That's pretty high.
The devastation of last week's boo list. If Sebastian goes home this week, it wouldn't be that surprising. They did like we just talked about how the editors are like making him look stupid. That's exactly what they did to Paul. They made Paul look like he was terrible at providing, and he had this bravado, which, you know, I didn't spend time with Paul on the island, but by all accounts, Paul was like a really nice guy and didn't deserve that in the edit. And that's exactly what they're doing to Sebastian. And I have him at 9. What am I thinking? Can I change that?
You have him on the level of Kellen by Phil's account and Bradley by my account.
Oh my God. No. Is it too late? Am I cheating? I don't
know. Phil, executive decision on your end. I don't feel right telling Adam he can't do
Alexa
something.
Got to move Brendan up.
I did get to move Brendan up.
So if you get to move somebody, can I move somebody? Move?
Yeah, I think we all
get Everyone can have one. I think it should be, I don't even, mine was like kind of a one-for-one flip, but you can only move one person.
Okay. I'm moving, so everyone else is going to bump up. Can we do that?
If you talk slowly so I can type, yes.
Okay, everyone else is bumping up. I'm taking Sebastian from 9. I'm sorry, Sebastian. It's not you. It's your edit.
Not you, it's me.
Sebastian, we're going to move from 9 to, I was saying that I thought I had James right? Low. So let's put, I'm moving him way far down. Wow. We're going Sebastian 9 to 15. So everyone else from 15 is getting bumped up.
Okay. You know, I'm going to do
big moves. You got to make big moves. This is
gotta a make big moves to win podcast. The game. This is a live podcast.
Sure. You can
do it. Phil, what's the move?
I like how I'm asking you. I'm doing my power rankings.
Yeah, you're asking permission.
Normally, I cheat what I do with Alexa anyway. I don't even make mine. I just base it 2 people off of whatever she says.
Plus minus 2. All right, what's your move, Phil?
Well, my move hasn't happened yet. So I'm going to make my move because Adam has seen my last 4 people. So my move is going to happen live.
Okay.
My number 15.
We'll do it live.
We're going to do it live. My number 15 is Angela. Who I actually fear for a good amount this week. And even though I have 3 people below her, I fear a lot for Angela because Angela gets the confessional at the challenge. And like, she didn't get anything last week. And we hear from Bradley, we hear from Libby, but like a good sign that somebody might go home is them hitting you with them immediately at the beginning of an episode, right after you didn't hear from them. Mm-hmm. So I think Angela could be in a lot of trouble here because it's like, oh man, like, she didn't get anything, and now it's like we got to get a whole episode of Angela to justify that she goes home third. We got to give her something. Mm-hmm. If they didn't think she was good enough to get into the premiere, why are they going to put her right as the first person we talk to in a confessional in this next episode? So I have her at 15. Probably should have been where I moved my 18/16 to. But the one I'm moving is Morgan. I'm putting her up to 16. I originally had her last, but the reason I'm going to move her up to 16 is because you guys are completely right. I'm looking too far into it where I was thinking like Stephanie Johnson just wants to get the legacy advantage, whatever. She needs to build that relationship. And because of how much we got of Morgan in this preview, like I was like totally sold, like, oh man, like she's gone. This is going to kill her. Stephanie Johnson is going to swap the same tribe as her and get it. What I think we're going to see is a very Chrissy Ryan situation where Stephanie and Morgan are going to swap to the same tribe. And you're going to see the beginning of a relationship that ends up, at least from what we're seeing right now, it looks like Stephanie's going to get the better of this just from one episode. But maybe Morgan reverses this curse. Either way, Stephanie doesn't need to get that now because you're at final 18. Vote her out at 14, so you have it for 13 and 6, which are the only two times it can be played anyway. So that's the one swap I'm making there, is I'm moving Morgan up to 16 instead of keeping her in my last place spot.
Mm-hmm.
What's next,
Alexa? Yeah, I'll go next. So I'll do my 15 and then my 16. So for 15, I have Libby, and I have her much farther down than both of you guys did. And it really doesn't have anything to do with what we saw in the show. I was reading Gonzalez's exit interview, and this kind of floated around in a couple of her exit interviews, that during that live tribal, she went over to Brendan and she said, "Who's going home?" And Brendan smartly said, "Donathan." She asked Michael. Michael said the same thing. She went to Libby and she said, "We're voting Donathan." Libby said, "Oh, we're not doing you anymore?" Which to me, I don't know if that was the exact quote. That was what Gonzalez said. To me, that is maybe that's an in the heat of the moment thing that came out, but I really have a hard time. I would have a hard time trusting someone like that. And it clearly worked out fine, but that's a blunder that I don't think you can make twice. So I'm super nervous for Libby on that front. I know we saw her being tight with Brendan and Michael, so I'm sure that will work out for her. But I'm having a hard time moving past that, at least after this first episode.
Fair.
Yeah. And then 16, I go Chelsea. Kind of for the same reason that you said Angela. The thing with Chelsea is that we saw nothing from her. I guess like the reason that she would not go home is that she is young and this is a young cast. Like there's probably something that she has in common with somebody on her new tribe. The thing with Angela is she is at a disadvantage because she is the oldest person on the season. So there is already, like, not a red flag, but there's already something that makes her different. So Chelsea, there's nothing that makes her different. So that's why I have Chelsea at 16.
What are you up to? Because I can kill mine if you want me to.
I'll do 16 and then you go.
Okay.
I have Laurel at 16. Did you guys already both do Laurel?
Yeah.
Like, yes. Pretty high up, right?
I had her at 14.
And where'd you have
her? I had her at 13. So
I have Laurel almost all the way at the bottom because I agree with what you guys said about it wasn't clear who she was close with. And they gave us a hint as to if she goes home, this is why she goes home. She said the people on the bottom have a chance to shift things up, change the game, whatever, and make a big move. So it was something like that. But the question is it the right time? And so, you know, the show loves to push this big moves idea that if you have to play to win, you have to make big moves. They gave the confessional to Laurel in terms of questioning, should we make this big move? And she ultimately decided no, not to. And in terms of the edit, that's a red flag. That's not something that you want to be shown saying, like, should we do this or should we not do this? And then you don't do it. It opens up the possibility that maybe after she goes home in episode two, you say, oh, well, maybe she should have made the move in episode one and aligned herself more solidly with a group. Right now she has the tribe of Malolo, but I don't think the tribe is going to hesitate to, especially if in the minority, to turn on one of their own. And they have no one on that tribe has any more particular allegiance to Laurel than they do to anybody else. Whereas we've seen other people, Jenna and Stephanie are together with Donathan, probably, right?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
And then you've got the three of Brendan and Michael and Libby. And you just don't see the ties there with Laurel, and also a potential red flag in the edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I mean, those are good points on Laura. I mean, I had her at 14. I didn't have her that much higher. I just think that I just think that somebody from the VT is going to go this week because, well, my 17, 18, 17, I go Chelsea, 18, I go Chris. I think that Chris in a swap being the strongest guy, also being completely like shown as like villainous and like kind of unlikable. And like, he does seem aware though. For all of that being said, like he was for totally sure on to Dominic. Like that's not real. But the reason I have Chelsea still so low, and I think you had her all the way up to like 9, right? The reason I have Chelsea so low 12. Is because you had her at 12. Okay. When I watched Chelsea's pregame interviews, I didn't really get much from her. I didn't find her to be particularly like entertaining. I was just like, okay, like she's there. She's on the show. What is she going to bring? And then I watch this episode and we don't get anything from her. And if she were to go home third, I think it's justified, at least in my mind, because in the pregame, I didn't really get much from her. So maybe there really wasn't much to give her in the first episode. Maybe she was a bit of a casting dud. So it's like, oh, let's get rid of her in episode 3. That's just where I could possibly see that going. That's why I am confident still putting her so low as compared to, you know, Libby, Bradley, and Dez, who I have way higher up, who didn't really get much. I don't know if Chelsea's going to get a confessional this episode. I know Angela is. So maybe I should have put Angela in the 17 spot and Chelsea in the 15 spot. But I just feel like there's something that maybe Chelsea just didn't really bring in the confessionals early. She goes home. Maybe she only gets one or two confessionals. We've seen it before. They did it to Katrina last year. They did it all the way back in 26 with Hope. It could happen. So that's why I have her there. But I think that Chris has a really good chance to go home this week. I mean, you just see so much of him. Honestly, I hope he sticks around because I think it's fun. I like the feuding early on like this. I hope these things can last for a little while. But I just don't see him sticking around too long.
He's definitely a fun villain. I'll give him that. Like you said, no matter how long he stays around, I'm enjoying watching him. So I hope he floats around for a little bit longer. That being said, he is at the bottom of my power rankings. I go with Angela at 17 and Chris with 18 just to kill him. Thing with Chris is he just found a way to make an enemy out of his entire tribe extremely early on. And whatever efforts there may have been to rectify that, we didn't see, and or they didn't go over very well. And with him going on to a new tribe, I really don't think anyone will really defend him from his old tribe. Mm-hmm.
I have Chris at 17, Angela at 18. Same reasons pretty much as you guys. The reason why I have Angela at the bottom is really just because I put her at the bottom for my boot list, and I really need her to go home if I'm going to have a shot here. So I'm sort of just going all in on this Angela has to go soon thing if my boot list stands a chance. And really what's more important than anything, I mean, this is a great season and I love Survivor, but more than loving Survivor, I love to win. And I need to win. And even if there's not a buff on the line for me, I don't do losing. I don't like the idea of it. It makes me sweat. It makes it kind of like James at Tribal Council last night. Just very
sweaty.
Yeah, very uncomfortable,
very sweaty
with that whole idea. So Angela is in the 18th spot, and I think I'm going to have to keep putting her there until you know she goes home, unless my boot list is just so wrong that I give up on it. Sort of like what Jacob did with his shots of like getting an alliance, like just being like, that's not happening. I need it. That's my only way out. Chris is, like I said, about like the way that the millennials viewed Ken. He's like the very vocal leader Even if he's not the actual leader, like he's the face of Naviti. And so if Malolo is gunning for a target, then that's the guy that they're going to go for. Angela, I agree with what you said, the fact that they had this sort of, that they showed this moment with her where she's like, I don't want to swap. The end of the episode could be like, there's a reason she didn't want to swap, because this didn't go well for her. Like, she had something good with Naviti, and now, you know, she swapped, and that's so that there's a storyline already set up in that preview that we watched. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if either Chris or Angela went home. But Chris, I have just ever so slightly up a little bit higher, because he is going to be more useful in challenges probably, and they may not want to get rid of him immediately.
And there we have it.
I'm good with that. I get it. So those are our power rankings. It's 1 through 18 for all of us. If you were able to keep track of all of that, I know we did it in the most continuous. We all went one at a time, and we all kept it in line. So
yes,
I'm sure all of you had no problem keeping up with who had 1 through 18 for everybody.
Who do you guys think has the best power ranking of today?
Vote on a tweet that we'll post in a little bit.
Vote now.
Also, as Adam's trying to read the live chat here, Vaughn took Chelsea for the eliminator game.
Oh, am
big
I not?
Big moment.
Are we doing an eliminator? Am I not in this this year? Or playing?
We did it during the fantasy draft. If you want to throw one out there, you can come in
if you
week
want to
late.
Toss it out there, we'll write
that,
it down.
Can I do that?
Yeah, sure. Who would you have used week one? And don't say Jacob or
can't say Jacob or Gonzalez.
I thought would not have gone home week one.
Yeah.
Still tough retroactively.
Jacob.
No, perfect.
I wouldn't have said Jacob.
Gonzalez, obviously.
I would have said I'm being honest. I would have said
I feel like we're about to get a lie.
Oh, it's tough. It's I don't know. Maybe I would have said Sebastian.
You would have said Sebastian. All right.
Would not be the first one out.
Okay. So it was Jacob or no, I'm sorry, it was Sebastian.
So put Sebastian and then who you want to put this week?
Okay, this week, who is not gonna go home? Because I think I put him too low on my thing, this is my way of reversing that and putting my money where my mouth is. And I'm going to say that I put James too low on my list. And I will say James this week.
Okay. I think he will appreciate that. I think he will
appreciate
the newfounded confidence. You're going to take Sebastian. I'm going to go against everything that I said tonight. And I'm going to go with Libby.
There you go. I think that's a good move. I don't think Libby's going, so I think you're safe.
Yeah, which we all know that I need. I lose. This is usually the average of where I use.
I got cut on Malcolm in Game Changers.
That's where she got cut.
That's where I got cut. Well, that was, I mean, no one's fault.
That was devastating.
That was Forrest D,
you are the best. I love you.
Oh, my. Can we just, like, do an entire podcast of Adam responding to compliments and or questionable comments that are being made?
He hasn't listened to us yet. He's literally just staring at that
who,
the entire
who
time.
Who are you? why are you in my house?
Yeah,
why?
This is actually at Adam's.
Why am I sitting next to you?
You have a really cool signed buff back there, though.
That one might be signed by he got all excited. He walked over. He goes, "Ooh, it's my name." Like, that actually happened earlier today.
Yeah, ooh, it's fun. My name.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
We had
so
fun.
Yeah. Did you guys have fun? Yeah. Fun. Oh,
who
boy.
Had fun tonight?
Wait, the Adam Alexa thing is still a thing.
They want to kick me out of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
I thought they were saying, like, we have a
No, there's no thing.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah. If you want to leave now.
This is not, I don't know. This is a PG podcast. Anything that may not be going on.
Aggressive, like no way. Definitely no thing. No. Is this how she treats you too?
No, Alexa's very nice to me.
I'm extremely nice to Phil. Well, you
that
let,
was a sick burn.
Well,
that
the thing is, you let strangers like Phil into your home, and I just think, I think, you know, it's a little.
Just to be clear, I'm this is not my home.
Imagine if it was, and I've been podcasting here for like a year.
Yeah. For that would be amazing.
In my home just to podcast,
and then immediately turns around and heads out.
That's my favorite comment ever. We should end with reading that.
Adam's signature with 8.99 and Ken McNiggle's signature is 20. I don't even know what that means.
It's pretty much saying an Adam's signature is worth 8.99 and a worth. Ken signature is worth 28.
How did he come up with those?
Well, prices? That's maybe because I will sign for everybody.
Whoa. Wow,
what a guy.
That might make it less valuable, but I think that's the right
it makes you the
do.
Nice guy, right?
I think it's the right
wow.
thing to do.
Yeah. What a time.
So, yes, we're very happy that Adam joined us here. Hopefully, moving forward, we've reached out to a bunch of people. We weren't sure with the Oscars coming up. We had a pretty tight window here. Alexa missed her train. We had a
everything
really
that could have gone wrong today went wrong.
We had a really tight window, so we didn't want to like announce that we were going to have Adam early, just in case. But now, pretty much, we do have other survivors like that we've been in touch with that we're going to try to have come on for each of the Power Rankings and Predictions episode, so that it's not just Alexa and I blabbing about the same 17 people after this week over and over and over again. And it adds like a little spice to it. You got to hear Adam's take on it, as wrong as it might have been. Like Sebastian, you got to drop six spots here.
You guys, you know, I'm a listener. That's what I do.
There you go. He listens to Alexa and I. This I'm telling you, he won the game because he listened to Will and I. But yeah,
That's why I gave them 10%.
He did. I just haven't seen it yet. My parents stole it.
Yeah, it's
which
common.
Is surprising that Will would be in the chat saying that I was robbed.
When you literally robbed, he literally robbed you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're legitimately, truly robbed.
Well, no, I mean, Ken. He said Ken was robbed.
Ken was robbed. Yeah,
it's like, I mean, you had a rooting interest. Come on. I saw Patty in the chat saying she's going in for her CT scan soon, so I want to send love out to you. We're sending you all the best. Needed.
You are nicer to our fans than we ever have been.
What's that?
You are nicer to our fans than we ever have been.
You're fine at all.
Well, your fans are great. I am your fan. I started out
the fan.
Before I was ever on Survivor, I was a Phil and Will.
Will.
Sorry, Ellen. Phil
that's
and Will
okay. I was watching, you know.
Now he's saying Hannah was robbed. How many people can be robbed?
Everyone was robbed.
Forrest wants to know if I'm doing any live events, RHAP or anything. I am. I am co-hosting the live know-it-alls. Stephen Fishbeck will not be able to make it to Reno. I'm going to be at Run It Up Reno on March 28th, I believe. So wow. If you want to come to Reno and play some poker with me, and I can take your money too.
How much is RHAP paying us for that?
No.
I like the us. Love us.
I wish.
That was a great endorsement.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are we not supposed to?
Oh
be
no, it's totally
plugging
fine.
On.
Oh, no, we're in too deep.
About our
good.
But now you have to call us out at the know-it-alls. I mean.
Oh my God, Adam! I would give you so much.
Have an audience in front of us right now. You guys just can't hear it. We'll turn the camera at the end.
Yeah,
I would give you so much money if you plugged us at the live know-it-alls.
What did you say?
I would give you $1 million if you plugged us at the live know-it-alls.
And she doesn't have
and anything. I do not have close to $1 million.
But so you would.
Yeah, I would like, you know, we would make a loan, you know, the whole shebang thing. But
hey, dude, that's $2 million.
You know,
when Adam hears $1 million, he goes for that, clearly. So
you said you want to win.
The lengths I go to listening to podcasts and reading interviews and whatever just for a buff? Do you know what I would do
here,
for $1 million?
I'll sign the $1 million. I will put my signature on every single dollar.
Yeah. Also, I have to address this thing that keeps coming up in the chat where a lot of you guys are saying, Adam doesn't need the money. Adam doesn't need the money. Need is not the point. I want the money.
The win.
So when Sandra came back and she played Survivor again, did she need another $1 million? No, but she wanted it. That's what matters.
Yeah.
Exactly. Winning.
Who wants it more?
Who wants it more?
You got to dig deep.
Oh my gosh.
Like everybody right now is so pumped to go watch like the Oscars. They're like, yes, I'm going to dig deep and watch this.
And for all of you saying Ken should have won, you are right. You know, that was the first time I will admit live. You are correct.
Adam robbed. Adam literally robbed Ken.
He should have won.
Alexa, when you actually, if you upload this to Reddit, make sure you put the headline as Survivor winner Adam admits Ken should have won Survivor, but don't put the timestamps. Everybody has to listen to the whole podcast.
1,000% doing that. Adam will plug Survivor Specialist at live RHAP events.
There's going to be a lot of titles. It's going to, you're going to run out.
I'm going to submit it. I'm going to submit it like four or five different times.
Also, Alexa, if you're watching the live chat, why is Will typing in all caps? Like,
nice. I don't know, but I think it's hilarious.
His caps lock is broken. I think
it has to be.
It's no, he's just very, very excited.
Ken should have won Survivor Gabon, says Giovanni.
That's there you funny. Go. That's better. That's
yeah. Pandering to the hosts. I
love Gabon. I thought it was a very enjoyable season, and mm-hmm. I've met both Bob Crowley and Susie Smith. And wow. They are wonderful people. Mm. Wonderful people.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. I played Survivor with Susie Smith.
Oh, that's right. You did
Durham
that.
Warrior Survival Challenge. And she wow. was awesome.
That's so awesome. That is so freaking cool.
There you go. All right. Well, Alexa, is that it? Do we have anything else?
Yeah, no, that's it. I think we're good. I think even though I was about an hour and a half late, I think we rectified the situation pretty well. We flipped our power rankings a handful of times, but Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. For those listening on iTunes,
here. Hannah's going to get so mad
in Hollywood.
For those listening to us on iTunes, Adam Klein just put on a Santa hat. Sometimes I forget that this is not always a video podcast, and we need to clarify what's going on to those listening strictly on audio. So with that, Stephanie Johnson won a resounding MVP of the episode. So Vaughn gets the points for that. Chris won a resounding LVP. So Joe Maina will be losing 4 points because he gets double on everything that happens to his team that he didn't ask for. So with that, I'll come out with an MVP spotlight of Stephanie at some point tomorrow, probably later on in the day. Hit subscribe on YouTube, hit follow on Twitter, hit like on Facebook, 5 stars on iTunes. We have been blowing up on subscriptions on YouTube. It's been really, really fun. Keep in subscribed, keep telling your friends. And we'll be back Wednesday at 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 a.m. Eastern for our episode 3 recap.
And if you listened all the way through to this, go comment daddy on my Instagram.
Oh my God, that is going to be the Reddit caption. Comments daddy on Adam's Instagram.
On that note, just daddy.